The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. The need for independent media is more critical than ever as people search for the truth. For the past 20 years, the Power Hour has focused on subjects which inform and educate about the real challenges we face as a nation. Join us as we discuss the Constitution, current events, and natural health solutions with the best experts on radio. Learn from some of the most insightful commentators you'll find in talk radio. Now, here's your host of the Power Hour, Dave Krieger.
It's summertime, 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 summertime.
There you have it. It is the 20th day. And, of course, they keep changing it. Government keeps changing the days of when summer solstice starts. This is supposedly the longest day of the year for the Northern Hemisphere. The official summer season starts today or tomorrow, depending on where you live. This is summer solstice. And what is it exactly? It's the result of the Earth's north-south axis being tilted 23.4 degrees toward the sun. If you didn't know, now you do. This tilt causes different amounts of sunlight to reach different regions of the planet during the Earth's year-long orbit around the sun. On the June solstice, the North Pole is tipped more toward the sun than on any other day of the year. This means that on the June solstice, the Northern Hemisphere is going to have the longest day and the shortest night of the year. The opposite holds true for the Southern Hemisphere, where June brings the winter solstice and the shortest day of the year. On the summer solstice, the Northern Hemisphere gets more sunlight than any other day of the year, but it doesn't mean the first day of summer is also the hottest. Earth's oceans and atmosphere act like heat sinks, absorbing and re-radiating the sun's rays over time. Even though the planet absorbs a lot of sunlight on the summer solstice, it takes several weeks to release it. As a result, the hottest days usually occur in July or August. All this, despite the current heat wave much of America is experiencing right now. And of course, summer solstice is brought to you by the Power Mall, where we have 10% off Miracle 2 soaps and neutralizers this week, 10% off OptiVita products, including the new vitamin D3, new and improved. Plant-based sale prices are marked on the website. Spend $300, get $20 off your order for Strauss Naturals or North American Urban Spice. Those products automatically apply at checkout as far as your discounts go. And, of course, I have the bottle of Strauss Hard Drops right here. And if you're not taking these things, you should be. I take them every day. And they're good. And that's why I'm alive and kicking, you know. So that's what's happening, of course. And, of course, if you don't know what we have and you don't have Internet, that's all right. We have a toll-free number you can call. As a matter of fact, our operator is now standing by, 877-817-9829. And you can request a Power Mall catalog so you'll be in the know. You won't be. I know you don't like to be listless, and so call up and get a list. And, of course, we have the prayer request line at thepowerhour.com, as well as the community tab where you can enroll in the forum. And, of course, we have partners you can support, because anybody you support, like U.S. Coin Capital, the Icy Breeze Portable Air Conditioning Cooler, Richardson Nutritional Center, Lion Energy, EMP Shield, McCanny Water Filters, My Pillow, and Star West Botanicals. Those are ways that you help support and keep us on the air, because we need to celebrate our silver anniversary, folks. News and information, extremely important. All right, moving right along here. Tropical storm, when you start speaking about weather, tropical storm Alberto has swamped Mexico, Texas, and Louisiana with floodwaters, dumped heavy rains over part of northeastern Mexico. The National Hurricane Center said that what was happening is the storm was packing sustained winds of 50 miles an hour. Military and emergency service personnel braced for full impact, which happened right around Nuevo León in Tamaulipas State, just south of the U.S. state of Texas, early this morning, bringing torrential rainfall, coastal flooding, and strong winds. Louisiana is getting a lot of that, too. Videos posted on social media showing flooding in coastal towns and waves smashing into seawalls. Further coastal flooding, along with the formation of tornadoes in Texas, is also being linked to the storm. Stonehenge, by the way, was spray-painted orange with orange powder paint by two of these Just Stop Oil protesters ahead of the summer solstice. You may or may not have heard of it. I don't know. Just Stop Oil identified the two men that were arrested as 21-year-old student from Oxford and 73-year-old man from Birmingham. In response to the incident, British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak said Just Stop Oil are a disgrace in a post on X. And, of course, they took action the day before summer solstice, demanding the incoming government sign up to a legally binding treaty to phase out fossil fuels by 2030. I hate to say it, but these people are dreaming. Here's a big example. Green new flop. Canada is unlikely to reach 100% electric vehicle goal due to lack of consumer demand. Where are they buying? What are they buying if they're not buying EVs? I mean, Trudeau is even freaking out over the thing. His Liberal Party set a green energy goal that all new car sales be EVs by 2035, eliminating effectively gas-powered cars from the new car market. However, the goals, unlike the U.S., the same way, are not going to be met. Toyota and Honda Motor execs said they don't see how the Canadian government expects to switch 100% to EVs, and so why should they make them? Here's the bigger deal. More than 1.3 million gas-powered cars were sold in Canada last year, making up the overwhelming majority of cars sold. Now, let's look back, if we can digress for a minute, about what Just Stop Oil is trying to achieve here. Phasing out fossil fuels by 2030 is going to be a physical and theoretical and ideological impossibility because science isn't there yet. Science has not kept up with the fact we have all these oil reserves that we can be using for the next 300 years. Now, yes, there is. If we talked about this on the show with one of our guests recently, Justin Noble, about what happens when you start poking around in the Earth's surface and all the junk you release. We've talked about that. Now, understand that if we are going to help our economy out, we need to put our dollars where it does us the most good, not where it's the biggest waste and biggest damage to the environment. Question is, compare solar panels to how much fracking and oil exploration there is and how much land has to be destroyed in the name of putting up solar panels. And think about it. These solar panels, how long are they going to last? And when there's a storm and there's hail, then what happens? All the solar panels are destroyed and have to be replaced. Where are they going to be disposed of? And then you got the lithium batteries that people want to charge. And how many of them does it take to make one EV? Just for example, 10,000 phone batteries. Like you take 10,000 lithium batteries out of this cell phone to make one electric vehicle. And then what are they going to do when the battery is no good anymore? Where are they going to dispose of it? See what I mean? We are so far behind in technology, yet they want to push all this on us and make us spend money that we don't have and force car makers to make electric vehicles that nobody wants. And in Canada especially, I mean, I feel sorry for these folks. You know, when you put an EV in freezing temperatures and expect it to go long distances, it's not happening. Gas-powered cars, on the other hand, can be expected to sustain freezing temperatures. Some people put fuel additives in the tank to make sure that they start, if you get my drift. See, our technology, when it comes to fossil fuels, we're already there. We're existing on it. And these people out there that think that we can take fossil fuels out of the picture and be expected to charge all of our electric vehicles, It's not going to happen. This is why they're pushing 15-minute cities. And if that happens, what are people supposed to do with their electric vehicles? If they're living in a 15-minute city, that means you can walk anywhere in 15 minutes. What do you need a car for? Waste of money. You know, what's the government going to do? Come in and bail us all out? Is the government going to give us each $100,000 to buy a new car, only to have it go to waste? And then what about the batteries? What about the pollution? They're so damn worried about the environment. How's that going to work? See what I mean? We are so far behind in technology, we're putting the cart before the horse, shooting ourselves in the foot, whatever cliche you want to use. There are a lot of people out there that don't like cliches, and I'm sorry for that. I really am. And then you listen to the news at 5 o'clock in the morning and wonder why you're hearing yesterday's news and get all up in a bunch about it. Well, I think we might have told you prior to our changing time slots to 11 a.m. Central that we would be broadcasting at 11 a.m. Central. And that means that if you're listening to the repeat broadcast at 5 o'clock the next morning, well, of course it's going to be old news. We haven't gotten to the 11 o'clock hour yet. We rebroadcast on our website all the time until the new broadcast comes online and gets recorded. So those of you that have a bone to pick with our time slot change, understand we did it as a matter of business logistics, not for critique by people that have nothing better to do than harp on us about our time change because they're listening to old news at 5 a.m. the next day before we get to put the new stuff up. I mean, how many times do I have to explain it? Most of our listeners understand it, but there are some of you out there that are still, I don't know, don't get it yet, but you will, without me explaining it, taking up needless time here. There is a new Louisiana law in the books now that has been signed into law by Republican Governor Jeff Landry after getting a final House approval, 79-16, and a Senate approval, 30-8. And what it does is it requires the Ten Commandments to be displayed in all classrooms, all public schools and colleges. Representative Bob Good of Virginia, here's a race we didn't talk about. He's one of those freedom, you know, the guys that was one of eight Republicans to join all the Democrats and ousting former Kevin McCarthy as Speaker in October. Well, Trump backed his opponent, State Senator John McGuire. Now there was a vote Tuesday. They finally totaled up all the votes. And McGuire was ahead of Good, Mr. Good, the current incumbent, by less than 1%. The law says that if it happens that way, that they can call for a state-funded recount. It looks like that's probably what's going to happen. Mr. Good was pointing out the entire D.C. swamp was aligned against him, with over 10 million in attack ads. But with your help, we were able to make this race too close to call, Mr. Good wrote. So, even though the race had not been called, McGuire, a former Navy SEAL, declared victory at his watch party in Lynchburg at 11:30 Tuesday night. So we're finding out now, and it's not delayed news, it's just updated, okay? That they're probably going to have a recall about it due to being locked in the race. Well, it also looks like RFK Jr. has fallen short of the CNN debate requirements. That simple. CNN has deemed that it's not going to happen. Both Trump and Biden are both considered their party's presumptive nominees and therefore meet the ballot access requirement. Trump has made it clear that he would welcome Kennedy to the debate stage with them later on after Kennedy meets all the criteria. Kennedy is claiming that he's got, you know, he's on track to meet it, but not in time for the debate. So here's a big problem with the debate for those of you in the know. They put it in Atlanta. They got CNN, they got Jake Tapper and Dana Bash. I mean, come on, really? Those two, Communist News Network's best, and they're going to put Trump and Biden on podiums where they have to stay there. They can't wander around because there's no audience to appeal to. Apparently, right now, from what we understand, they have Biden in a debate closet, inundating the man's brain with whatever they can to try to get him to memorize all the talking points so he can withstand 90 minutes on a microphone. And here's the thing. CNN gets to control the microphones, which means when the candidate who is supposed to be glued to his podium with only a notepad and a bottle of water and a pen to write notes with, he can't speak into the microphone because they're going to cut his mic. So that means that you can bet that Biden, when he gets on that microphone, is going to keep referring to Trump, not by name, but as a former president who is a convicted felon. This is going to go on and on and on, and it's going to be a common talking point. And Biden will call him a clown and a convicted felon like he always does, because clown is Biden's favorite word when he's slamming another candidate. And they're going to shut Trump's mic off the whole time Biden is up there. And you watch, they're only going to be allowed to speak for a certain amount of time, like 90 seconds for the speaking time and 1 minute for rebuttal. And they're going to stick to that, and they're going to give Biden a lot of leeway. So Biden will keep talking, and they'll keep his microphone on until he goes to take a breath before they let Trump speak. So this whole thing is staged to favor Biden. It's CNN. Come on. You expect any less? I've told Trump on Truth Social, please do not do this. This guy, you're debating with a moron that's got a mental acuity of office furniture. Oh, is that another cliche? Oh, darn. You know, and they didn't manipulate any of what Biden did. Tripping upstairs, going to Air Force One, no. And all the other falls he's taken. Now, this was not a stunt, man. This was Biden falling over on a bicycle. And all the other things that he's done. Wandering off at the G7 summit. No, that wasn't a Trump dummy. It wasn't a substitute. A stuntman for Trump, for Biden. It wasn't that. He's wandering off because the guy is out of it, out of his mind. But they're going to put him up. They're going to coach him in a closet, and they're going to put him up there on some sort of drugs. And I would be looking to see if Biden turns his head, whether he has an earpiece in his ear, because if he does, it's not a hearing aid. It's an earpiece connected to somebody that's feeding him the information. You watch. He might have an earbud in his ear, because if he keeps leaning over going, huh, that means he's got an earbud in his ear if he has to keep asking the moderators to repeat questions. Because if Jake Tapper and Dana Bash have to keep repeating questions, it's because Biden could hear it for a reason. Because somebody is talking in Biden's ear telling him what to say. Remember, like little Jiminy Cricket, Obama, saying if he could sit in his basement and say whatever? Yeah, that kind of thing. And they're not supposed to be able to leave the podium and talk to their teams, their respective teams. They're supposed to have to stay right there during the 90 minutes, so that'll never happen. They're going to have to wear Depends because, you know, Poopy Pants is going to end up taking a leak. You know that. He won't be able to hold it in for 90 minutes. They're going to dose him up with drugs. You watch. They did this at the State of the Union address. Or State of Disunion, whichever you prefer to call it. So this debate, to me, is shady from the get-go. It doesn't matter if it's happening right before July 11th when former president gets sentenced in New York, and we have yet to determine how that's going to happen, and there's been no word as to how they're going to deal with the jury issue, where a cousin of the juror posted garbage online revealing they were going to give him a guilty verdict before the jury was even done debating the issue. The judge's instructions were wrong and totally slanted. Even Cato Institute just published an article on it, calling out the judge, telling them they must convict, not that they should convict. Speaking of which, a federal judge has handed down 55 concurrent life sentences to the Colorado mass shooter. You remember the one that now says he's binary, that went into that nightclub, Club Q, the LGBTQ venue, Club Q, and shot up the place, killed five, injured 19. Anderson Lee Aldrich got, this was in federal court, he got 2,000 years in prison on state charges in connection to the attack. The June 18th sentencing pertained to the separate federal charges he also faced for a hate crime. So this guy is going to be spending the rest of his life in prison as a non-binary. I don't know what that means. Does that mean they're going to put him in a women's prison? I mean, the whole time the attorneys for this Aldrich guy were using transgender pronouns, they, them, to describe him. Interesting how that works. I don't think he should be given a life sentence in a women's prison, do you? No. You know what happens in men's prisons, especially when they find out somebody claims they're non-binary? That's a problem. The Keep America America Action Fund, a super PAC connected to the Pro Small Business Group Job Creators Network, is backing investment banker Marty Dolan in his bid to oust far-left Rep. AOC in the 14th Congressional District's Democratic primary. The PAC shelled out $100,000 in media and social media buys that include billboards in Times Square. Anybody going to Times Square can see these blaring messages coming over all those, you know, the big massive electric billboards they got there, blaming Ocasio-Cortez for ignoring rising crime, high grocery prices, and out-of-control energy costs. For Dolan, illegal immigration chaos is central to his campaign's criticism of AOC. And so the garbage in New York continues. Trump lawyers have filed a notice on using classified documents in trial. They filed a notice confirming they will use classified materials as part of their defense strategy in the federal documents case. Of course, Jack Smith, of course, is trying to get this gag order in place so that Trump can't talk about any of this stuff, especially during debates and campaigning. In a number of motions, Mr. Smith's lawyers have been telling the court the former president should submit their CIPA filing, Classified Information Procedures Act filing, which is a set of rules governing how to use classified records in certain cases. And he's been accusing the Trump team of delaying the case as long as possible. Judge Cannon has yet to rule on several of the motions to either dismiss as well as a gag order request. In the economy, U.S. 30-year fixed-rate mortgage rates fell below 7% with no real sign of demand. For the first time in more than a month, this happened. Of course, all the economists are saying it could help revive the housing market's waning fortunes, but even at 6.94% during the week ending May 23, the lowest level in first reading below 7% since the second week of April, nobody's running the nearest mortgage loan officer trying to sign up as demand continues to wane. Disney, by the way, is troubles abound. The Walt Disney Company continues to pay a steep price for its political war with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, even though they waved the white flag on the Reedy Creek investment project. Guess what they're going to do now? They are facing a class action lawsuit from some of its own employees who relocated from California to Florida for the planned Lake Nona campus in the Orlando area, only to find themselves with nowhere to go after Disney canceled the $1 billion project last year amid the DeSantis beef over the state's ban on gay and transgender indoctrination in schools. Wow. See, one instance, a Disney employee allegedly sold his home that had been in the family for generations. Imagine that. So, boy, this never goes away for them, does it? A Democrat staffer was criticized on social media after he shared a post thanking President Biden for canceling his student loan debts. This guy's name is Ben Kamens. He's a communications director for Representative Marcy Kaptur of Ohio. Sharing a post on X, he reportedly received a call informing him his student debt has been canceled. In Kamens' post, he shared a photo showing two student loans with disbursement dates from 2010. The original principal balance on one loan was $2,750, while the other showed $5,500. The total comes out to $8,250. This is why elections matter. Thanks, Joe Biden. K. Kamens wrote in another post that his job was paying it down for me ahead of schedule. He was happy to let the government cancel it instead of paying it off. Hey, listen, idiot, I had to pay my student loan. I had to take my hard-earned money and pay my student loan debt off. Why shouldn't you? Biden didn't come bail me out, moron. Other people besides me complain. As a government worker, this guy got paid more than $80,000 last year by taxpayers, according to Legistorm. Now he's bragging about forcing those same taxpayers to pony up another $8,000 for loans he refused to pay himself. Sean Davis, the CEO and co-founder of The Federalist, wrote in a post on X, I worked on Capitol for 10 years. Capitol Hill, Stephen D. Smith, who previously worked as a communications director for former Rep. Ed Royce and Representative Paul Gosar. I could never imagine tweeting out something so stupid, including my home address. I would show my staff tweets like this to show them examples of what you shouldn't be tweeting. Kamens reportedly earned over $80,000 last year. Estimates on Glassdoor shows the salary range for communications director in the House is between $77,000 and $120,000 a year, with a median range of $96,000, and you couldn't pay that student loan on your own? See, that's a disgrace, folks. Health officials are warning these 80 million Americans on the East Coast and Midwest under heat advisory this week that taking certain medications should be on the lookout for symptoms of heat stroke and heat exhaustion because certain medications and high temperatures don't mix. And they gave a list of them like Paxil, lithium, Zyprexa, Haldol, clozapine, Prozac, Seroquel, Zoloft, Thorazine. Is that an IV drip? Instead of running around in the sun after taking all this stuff, LSD, psilocybin mushrooms, cocaine or crack or PCP or bath salts, MDMA, anabolic steroids, and more, why don't you just stay indoors until the heat wave passes? 1 in 4 U.S. yards may have unsafe levels of lead in them. That's real exciting, isn't it, as far as environmental studies? There's always a new study somewhere. Indiana University biochemist just put the word out. I assumed it was going to be a more modest number than what it was. The results for 100 parts per million guideline are even worse than what they thought. 29 million U.S. households could be contaminated by soil lead levels that exceed the new EPA guidelines. The price tag for remediating all of those lead contaminated yards, including dig and dump soil removal methods, could exceed $1 trillion. So how do we find this out? I guess you're going to have to test it. The findings come from a database of soil samples from almost 16,000 residents across the contiguous 48. And of course, there's a new study out. There's always a new study out. Walking staves off lower back pain recurrence. Yeah, if you just do it. This is research out of Australia. You know, all those little movements there, loading and strengthening spinal structures and muscles, relaxation and stress relief, feel-good endorphins. Professor of physiotherapy Mark Hancock at the Macquarie University in Sydney. Over 800 million around the world suffer from low back pain. 7 in 10 cases, the pain will ease only to return later. You know, exercise program, it helps, you know, it helps. According to this new study, always a new study. Now we got some more disconcerting news, this bird flu. Got to talk about that. We will later in the show. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break here for some important messages and words from the Power Mall. We'll try to come back with U.S. Attorney, former U.S. Attorney Bud Cummins for an update on the Malinowski case. Stay with us.
iComplex CS is a comprehensive natural medicine formula to nourish and heal eye tissue formulated by a board-certified MD ophthalmologist, Dr. Robert Abel. Why you need vitamins for your eyesight? There is a direct and proven physiological connection between the nutrients we put into our body and the quality of our eyesight. Some vitamins for eyesight can be absorbed from the food we eat, but other vital nutrients cannot, especially if you're not eating a daily, nutritionally balanced diet. Additional supplements are essential for optimal eye health, as well as your overall physical health. With 23 vitamins and nutrients such as N-acetylcysteine, cysteine, which is important for removing toxic substances from the liver. This, the most complete clinical strength eye and total body multivitamin available in one supplement. Call the Power Mall at 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Hi, this is Dave Krieger for the Power Mall. If you've seen me take a Regaresp while live streaming on the Power Hour, you should know that I take this great product from North American Urban Spice regularly. One of the worst things that can happen to a talk show host is lung congestion, and a Regaresp keeps that at bay, especially during allergy season. If you're suffering from sinus issues, you may too be suffering from sinus drainage, which gets into your lungs and that affects your breathing. I practice what I preach when it comes to having clear lungs. I can't say enough good things about a Regaresp in helping to restore lung function due to sinus drainage and allergies. If sinus issues are bugging you like they do me, do yourself a favor and pick up a bottle of a Regaresp from North American Urban Spice online at thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. A Regaresp, one of the great products from North American Urban Spice.
Hi, this is Linda from the Power Mall. I would like to tell you about a product that I personally take and recommend. I was very drawn to the Bone Active Topical Rub because I want to build healthy bones and prevent age-related bone loss, which so many of my friends have. Bone Active Oil contains three of the most potent mountain herbal oils known to man: sage, rosemary, and oregano. I rub it on my joints and on the bottom of my feet, and an added bonus is that it smells amazing. Not only is it potent by just rubbing it on the body, but also can be taken internally. Take advantage of the research. Use Bone Active rubbing oil and capsules to support a healthy overall bone density response. I'd love to talk with you more about this product. Call me at 877-817-9829 or learn more by visiting thepowermall.com.
In these uncertain times, with the threat of electromagnetic pulse, potential fallout from nuclear power plant disruptions, as well as direct exposure from electromagnetic frequencies from your home's smart meter and electrical circuitry, your life has become radioactive in more ways than one. That's why North American Urban Spice created Nuke Protect, which supports the thyroid and your adrenals with natural potassium iodide. With premium sourced selenium and antioxidant support more potent than blueberries, Nuke Protect supports immune health with a blend of wild oregano, rosemary, cumin, Atlantic sourced kelp, raw chaga powder, and wild rose coriaria. Nuke Protect is even safe for pets. You and your loved ones need to get prepared for this sad eventuality and stock at least 4 bottles of Nuke Protect for every member of your family. Get Nuke Protect today at thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Minutes after the hour of 11 a.m. Central Time, where we are and where Bud Cummins is, too. He's a former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Arkansas, and we have him on the on Skype with us so you can actually watch us talk about this conversation about the late Brian Malinowski, 53-year-old executive director of the Little Rock Airport, the highest paid employee in the state, or at least in the city of Little Rock. This guy was in the state. Good. Bud Cummins.
No, in the city.
In the city. Okay. Thank
highest employees in the state are the coaches.
Yeah, the coaches. I love it. I love it. This is so good, you know, to know these things. Bud, you know, being the U.S. attorney, you see all of the stuff that we've been talking about. What happened on the morning of March 19th? They've released, apparently, the Pulaski County district attorney's office, I think, was looking into this.
Yes,
and they just released the details. Could you explain what those details recounted and what your take is on all this?
Yeah, so far the Pulaski County prosecutor Will Jones, announced his findings on June 14th, and he issued a letter. I guess it's here in front of me. It's 3 pages long, 2.5 pages long. So it has, you know, precious little information that it recounts about a paragraph, kind of a summarizing the what the ATF claimed happened when they entered the house, and it gives a timeline that they've constructed that's pretty consistent with the one we had, but they had more information than we had to go on. Of course, the ATF agents did not follow their own policy of wearing body cameras, so we don't have perfect information, but they were able to piece together a timeline from some audio outside. And, I think the most important thing that it showed was that, and I wasn't off in my estimate, really, I was real close, that from the time they knocked on the Malinowski's door, the first knock, to the time they knocked it in and entered the house was 28 seconds, 6 in the morning. So the law says they have to wait a reasonable amount of time for the occupant of the house to voluntarily respond to the knock and admit them and, you know, submit to their authority with a search warrant. So I think, you know, really the big question is who listening today when they picture themselves laying in their bed an hour and a half before sunrise? This today's the longest day of the year, I believe.
Yes.
We're in June, but this was back in March 19th. It was over an hour and a half before sunrise. It was 32 degrees outside. You're laying in your bed at 6 in the morning and you hear somebody kick your front door in or just knock on your door. How long does it take you to get organized to go find out what's going on? They're not knocking, they're banging. And you got to get up, put on some clothes, go to your front door. Is the answer 28 seconds? Is that the reasonable amount of time to allow an American citizen to answer the door before their government kicks the front door in and kills them? I mean, that's really the ultimate question in this case.
Well, it's a 3,000-square-foot insulated home, too. So, I mean, somebody comes banging on your door at 6 a.m., the first thing the average person is thinking is, what was that? Is somebody knocking at the door? I mean, you're waking up out of a sound sleep, and it's like, is somebody knocking at the door? Well, you better get up. First, they got to put some clothes on. I mean, most people don't want to answer the door in the buff. And so...
Right.
I mean, you at least want to look somewhat decent, or you're going to throw a robe on or something and put on slippers and walk to the door. And the next thing you know, 28 seconds later, folks, this is not just Brian Malinowski we're talking about here. We're talking about the average American citizen that is laying in their bed asleep at that hour of the morning, expecting that they're going to get a good 8 hours rest. And all of a sudden, this intrusive knocking and banging on the door, followed by the time you even get ready to get out of bed to get shoes on to see who it is, because they're covering up your Ring camera so you can't look in your computer screen to see who it is. all of a sudden, bam, your front door crashes in and you're going, oh my God, it's a home invasion. Now, there is some dispute, even if there was audio outside. Did ATF actually announce who they were, Bud? Do you know?
They claim they did. And, you know, it's, but it doesn't matter to me because Mrs. Malinowski didn't hear it and she doesn't believe her husband heard it. I don't think anybody close to this case, except maybe ATF, is ever going to believe that he knew for a second that that was law enforcement coming in his front door. So whether they announced outside, look, you know, I think I was the one that put the word insulated in the news release. And that's a distinction. You know, I'm fortunate enough to have a about the same size house, but mine's 85 years old. It's not well insulated. We can hear things outside, but this is a modern home out in a new suburban area of West Little Rock. I've seen the house. It has, if you're familiar with drive-in insulation, it has, you know,
oh, wow,
rock veneer. It has double, you know, insulated windows, and it had a storm door. The front door consisted of two glass storm doors and then two wood doors. So, you know, in a modern home, I don't know how loud you have to yell at the front door for somebody in a back bedroom to really understand or hear that somebody's out there saying, you know, police. And in 28 seconds, to me, that's ludicrous to think that anybody really of any age, of any sex could, you know, gather themselves and gather enough information to understand that somebody was at their front door and it was safe to open that door in 28 seconds.
That's pretty scary. And then not only that, but of course, now they also claim that one of the Little Rock police or one of the vehicles that was there turned on their lights and siren. I mean, but how long was the siren? And the neighbors heard it? I mean, you know, I mean, if you see lights and siren and you're across the street and all of a sudden you see flashing lights blasting through your window, you're going to get up to look out the window to see what's going on. And if they're sound asleep in the back of the house, they're not going to see it.
Yeah. And, you know, they use the term siren. You know, I'm afraid, and I'm trying to withhold judgment about the attorney general's work here. I mean, the prosecuting attorney's work here. The fact of him declining this prosecution should now open the door to public information. We should be able to access. We haven't had access yet. Their office is doing some redactions. I think they're acting in good faith. You know, I don't have, you know, sooner or later, hopefully sooner, we're going to start seeing the Arkansas State Police investigation, seeing the actual statements, hearing these recordings, but we haven't yet. So I'm trying to reserve judgment, but I suspect that there's some lack of precision in this letter. I don't think there was a siren. I think somebody that wrote this conflated flashing lights with a siren. Flashing lights are one thing, a siren's another. I think they flashed lights. I don't think they blew the siren, but we'll find out. It's not a critical fact, but I don't think anybody blew a siren. We've got audio from neighbors, you know, ring cameras that would have picked up. I just don't believe there was a siren. We've never said with certainty, but we've said many times that we suspected that they cut the power off. And in this letter, the prosecuting attorney said they subpoenaed Energy, and Energy said there was no disruption of power at the house. I don't believe that's accurate either. If it is, Energy lied to Mrs. Malinowski when she made an official inquiry and asked them the same question. So we're going to have to get to the bottom of that also.
Okay, now comes the part of what, and this is a thing, when Waco happened, it was made obvious to everyone that the ATF came in and ran all over the sheriff in McLennan County, Texas. Your take so far from what we talked about before we came on is that Sheriff Eric Higgins of Pulaski County really had no knowledge that they were going to do this, even though he's the chief enforcement officer of the county. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, at this stage, again, I haven't seen the Arkansas State Police investigation or, you know, they're, except for Will Jones' letter last week and the affidavit, the search warrant affidavit, there's been no release of any information related to this from any official source. I'm not aware that Pulaski County had any role in the execution of the search warrant or any knowledge of it, but that remains to be seen. We believe Little Rock Police Department had personnel on the scene, but we don't know what their role was or, you know, how much they participated in the planning or the execution of the search warrant.
But the thing is, too, is that we know that Little Rock Police was on the scene, and we know that they weren't wearing body cameras, according to what information you already are aware of. Is that right?
That's what we've been told. I believe this timeline, apparently, one of the officers, you know, they have dash cams, and then they have body mics that are connected back to their dash cams, if I understand correctly. And one officer did have on his body mic and left his car running, pointed not towards the Malinowski home, so you can't see anything that's of interest, but you can pick up audio off his mic. And supposedly that's how they created this timeline. From that audio, you can hear the announcement. So we'll hear it maybe. And you can hear them break in the door. And I think the significance of them saying they turn on the flashers and maybe a siren is sometimes it's protocol to go ahead and hit flashers. So when you knock on the door, presumably or supposedly that person that's getting out of bed and has 28 seconds to live can look outside and see, yes, it's official. It really is police. It's not one of the dozens of fake police home invasions that have happened across the country that might give somebody additional pause to answer their door at 6 in the morning. But so I am familiar with that protocol being used in different situations like this. And I don't have a problem with it. Mr. Malinowski never had time to get to the front of his house to look out his front window in 28 seconds. That's another thing 28 seconds did not allow him to do. So turning on the lights might have been fun for them, but it had absolutely no impact on Mr. Malinowski or his ability to survive this search.
Well, I mean, in a search warrant at 6:03, when they could have served this at any point in time, which that's another rationale right now, that when Stephen Dettelbach, the ATF director, was testifying in front of Jim Jordan and company in the House Judiciary Committee, he literally avoided every other question and basically deflected to policy, procedure, whatever the case may be. And the only thing he acknowledged is one of his agents got shot in the foot. And he recovered. And aside from that, he didn't admit to anything else. He turned around and apologized to the Malinowski family, who was behind, because I had to go back and look at that because you brought that to my attention. And it's like, I can't believe the arrogance of this man. I mean,
well, it was totally a cop out because he was saying, well, there's this ongoing Arkansas State Police investigation. I can't. But if the Arkansas State Police, for whatever reason, and Will John, I mean, look, here's what they did. Here's what happened with the Arkansas State Police and the Pulaski County Prosecutor. They started with, there were police officers standing in someone's house, and they came around the corner with a gun and shot at them, so they shot back and killed them, and we think that that's legal. That was their analysis. They didn't ask the question, how did the officers get in the house, whether it was reasonable for them to be in the house and whether it was legal for them to be in the house. I'm going to tell you that under federal law, it's not legal to wait 28 seconds in this case to enter the house. But the Pulaski County prosecutor did not endeavor to weigh that question, nor did the state police. To my knowledge, I have not seen their file. They actually did a press release when they handed their file over to the Pulaski County prosecutor maybe a month ago, and said in that press release, we are not looking at ATF's policies, procedures, protocols, or methods. They said that. So ATF director's being asked questions about policies, procedures, protocols, and methods, and he's saying, well, I can't talk about it because of the Arkansas State Police investigation. Well, they'd already said before he said that they weren't looking at that. So it was a total dodge, you know, I don't think it's over. I don't think Jim Jordan is done with this, and I don't think his committee's done with it. I don't think members of the Arkansas delegation are done with it. I think there's members of the Arkansas state legislature that are just kind of getting warmed up. They're very interested in it and offended and appalled at what happened. So, the questions are going to – they may not answer, but they're going to – I think that people are going to keep asking questions about this.
Well, see, and that's the thing. When you said, and you were quoted as saying, this is not over, I look at all of the stuff that's going on with this, and they're trying, the mainstream media is trying to sweep this under the rug. You know, and I listen to Little Rock Radio, and, you know, dial in on all these radio stations I have access to. And I'm listening to this and I hardly hear any mention of it at all. It's like they don't want to talk about it. But I think people in Little Rock and the natural state per se are very concerned about this 28 second situation. They know about it. And the fact that, you know, the ATF could just break into somebody's house and come in heavy on a search warrant makes zero sense. And I mean, you being a former U.S. attorney, that it makes any sense to you at all.
You know, and what would make this interesting, and I'm afraid I know the answer, is what would Will Jones have done if Mr. Malinowski had survived this and he'd shot an officer in the foot? What if he'd also been wounded? Would he be charged? Would he be charged with shooting that officer? Because under these facts, I don't think any jury would convict him for believing his home was being invaded. But I think Will Jones probably would have felt compelled to go ahead and charge him and let him defend himself in front of a jury when he's basically given the, not putting the law enforcement to the same test, the same rigor. There's another issue here. You know, we talk about the 28 seconds and you're a United States citizen, you're laying in your bed, you got all the rights and privileges of the Constitution. You know, this was probably the lowest level crime they might drag into the U.S. Attorney's Office for prosecution. I mean, the penalties for this are so low that if I was a U.S. attorney and they brought very many of them, I'd tell them to stop because we got better things to do here. It's just, it's a very low level offense. It's also probably an unconstitutional charge because no one I know even can explain what's legal and illegal under this regulation. The ATF director couldn't explain it to the Congress. DOJ lawyers came to Little Rock when Tim Griffin filed an injunction on the new regulation that would have governed Mr. Malinowski's conduct had he lived another 2 or 3 weeks. They couldn't explain it to Judge Moody. So, to me, that's unconstitutionally vague. And then it's also unconstitutional because it clearly exceeds the authority Congress has given ATF in this area. Congress has expressly refused to further regulate private sales at gun shows, and ATF's just do, and the White House were trying to do it anyway, are trying to do it anyway. So you know you've got a crime here that is so it's basically, you know, if somebody's hunting ducks without a license, I mean that's about the level of crime we're dealing with here. You got an individual citizen who didn't even know he was under suspicion, and you got an agency that can't explain with precision what they think he did wrong or how the rule works. So, you know, that makes this even more appalling. But, you know, I think honestly, even if it had been a crime, I mean, here's another thing, it's an investigation. They didn't have pieces to charge anybody or they wouldn't have done it. This was an investigation. They were looking for evidence so that Mr. Malinowski stands unaccused today. They never accused him, and they never will accuse him of anything. But, you know, even if they'd have been investigating more serious crime, without some definitive reason to go in the way they did and as quickly as they did, you know, courts have allowed him to do that where there's risk of destruction of evidence. You can flush drugs down a toilet when they know that the person is, you know, maybe likely to try to escape. But none of that was present here. There was no, you know, they refer to those as exigent circumstances. There are none here. So it's really frustrating. And it ought to be frightening to every citizen that this happened.
Well, I think it is. People are scratching their heads going, wow, how'd they get away with it? I think that's the thing that's blowing everybody's mind is how did they get away with this? Now, the bigger thing and the question that everybody immediately comes to mind, and I know that you are reserving possible comment on this, and I know that you don't want to litigate something like this, but I see wrongful death suits in this. Is that a possibility?
I absolutely think there will be a wrongful death suit filed here. And another thing that all citizens need to be aware of is the federal government or Congress has passed a statute long ago, 42 USC 1983, that gives you a clear pathway if local police, the sheriff, the state police violate your constitutional rights. For whatever reason, they've never seen fit to pass a similar statute if you're victimized by federal agents. So it's a lot harder to sue federal agents for violating, you know, causing a wrongful death. It's not impossible. It's just very difficult. So
now, are we talking about the Federal Tort Claims Act or something where you have to get permission from the government to sue them?
That's one. Federal Tort Claims Act is one avenue. It's limited. You don't get a jury. You don't get punitive damages. You appear before a judge. You have to file a claim and wait 6 months to get permission to file a lawsuit. There's also what's called a Bivens action. It's common law. It's basically a common law version of the statute I referred to, 1983. The Supreme Court, conservatives on the Supreme Court, have really tried to ratchet down Bivens actions and limit them. But if Bivens exists as an avenue for citizens to hold their government accountable, this case still should be valid under Bivens also. So there's two avenues to pursue. But it's very tough. They're going to hide behind, you know, we had a legal warrant. He shot at us. You know, they're going to hide behind all that. And so it'll be. But I think going back, I walk through the grocery store. I've been involved in public controversies for 30 years. I've never been involved in one where people wanted to tell me so strongly how badly they, you know, feel about something. And people are stopping me on the street. And I think the federal government has to answer. If it's okay, what happened to Brian Malinowski, if that's legal, you need to explain that to a lot of us, because the rest of us don't think it should be.
Yeah. Very well put, Bud Cummins. Thank you so much for being on the show. We're out of time. We're going to the break now. In the meantime, God bless you, sir, for all the work you're doing and for your new alternative dispute resolution service that you offer in Little Rock. Yeah. We will be back with these important messages from the Power Mall. Stay with us.
Solution. Paratrex is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregano Resp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.